Praise the Lord, good morning. It's good to be in the house of God, amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of Psalms. And let's see Psalm 16. Book of Psalm and Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasn't after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in a present places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Hallelujah. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you for being with us, helping us, supporting us, providing our needs, delivering us from troubles. Oh God, we thank you and we praise you, we magnify you. We adore you, Jesus. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. We invite the Holy Spirit to be today in the middle of us, to help us, to support us, to strengthen us, to touch each and every one of us in the name of Jesus, to provide our needs, to answer our prayer, to do miracles in our midst in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the salvation. We thank you for our names are written in heaven. We thank you for the good health. We thank you for the gift of prayers. We thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your church. We thank you, Lord, for the mercy that you give us to save you. We thank you, Lord, because you allow us to come to be in your presence to worship you. O God and Savior, even we pray, O God, that let our heart be full of gratitude and thanksgiving this day. Lead us and guide us and help us and strengthen us in the name of Jesus to go on and save you. Let's now confess your sin to the Lord. Ask him forgiveness for your sin, the things that you have done wrong intentionally. Repent of them and ask him to forgive you and to purify you from all unrighteousness. Yes, Lord, hear the confessions of your people as they confess their sin and renounce them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, O God, for the blood of Jesus to cleanse, O Lord, to purify through and through body, soul, and spirit in the name of Jesus. Yes, O God, we confess all our sin before you. Lack of trust, anger, lack of commitment, disobedience, rebelliousness, oh God, hard-headedness, immoralities, doing our own will. Lord, love of money, worldliness, love of the pleasures of this world, the lust of the eyes. We ask forgiveness, O God. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse your church and bring your church pure, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. Prepare us, Lord, for your coming in the name of Jesus. Let's now ask the Lord our needs. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I give you rest. The Lord is here with us today. He is attentive to our prayers, to the prayer of his people. He will provide our needs as we pray. Thank you. We bless you. We magnify you. We adore you, Lord. Hear our prayers. Hear our cry for mercy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Redeemer. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, O God. Answer our prayers. Provide the needs, O God. Yes, O Lord. Heal. Open doors. Provide. Deliver. Give solution in the name of Jesus. Yes, O God. Change the heart of the people. Change circumstances. We are in desperate need of you, O Lord, even this very day. We will not go to other door, but we will continue to knock at your door till you come and rise up and open to us. O God, we desire to see your face, seeking your face, that you will be pleased with us in the name of Jesus. If you know anyone who is in need, and you pray for that brother, pray for that sister. Yes, O God, heal the sick, provide, support, strengthen. O God, hear our prayers. Hear our cry for mercy in the name of Jesus. Lead us in the way that you want us to go and move, O Lord. We trust you, our great God. There is no one like you, Jesus. Pray now, pray for your family. Pray for your family. Pray for your wife, pray for your husband, pray for your children, pray for your parents, pray for your siblings. Pray. Bring everything to God in a prayer. Yes, Lord. As David say, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Yes, O God. We trust you are at our right hand. We shall not be moved. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your help and your support. Thank you, and sing our prayers. That's our families. I pray for order. I pray for husband and wife to agree with you and your word and your will and discipline the children, the fear of yours, to raise up godly generation to serve you. Oh God, I pray for blessing upon each and every family, provision, jobs, income, and use each and every family as testimony to others, to know you, that the family will reflect Christ to others in their life in the name of Jesus. Pray now for your job, your boss, your company, the place you are working. Lord, thank you for all these places that you opened for us to go on and work and get income and salaries. Lord, we pray that we'll be faithful to work hard, to pray for the people, to bless them, O God, and also, Lord, that we ask to give them salvation, O Lord. We pray also that you prosper these places, for we too will be prosper. We commit ourselves to bring the tithe of our income, the first fruit, our offerings into your house. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Bless the places that we are working. Salvation flow through us. We commit ourselves, Lord, to evangelize, to bring your word to them in the name of Jesus. Yes, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master, for answering our prayer. Let's pray for our neighbor, our relative, our friends from the places that we came from. Let's pray that the Lord will reach them with his word. Thank you, God. Thank you, Redeemer. We bless you. We magnify you. We adore you. Lord, we pray for salvation to flow, O God, through our lives to them. Use me, Lord. Use us. Use your church to evangelize. Use all our contacts, oh God, to bring your gospel to them in the name of Jesus. Let's pray now for the place that God had put his church here in UAE and the extension of the church in Oman, in Kuwait, in Iraq, in India, in Sri Lanka, in Philippines, Australia, America, Sierra Leone, in Malawi, in Pakistan, to all the places that the church had extended through members, through families, through congregations. We pray, Lord, bless all these places. We pray for favor that come from you, O Lord, from you, O God, to be upon the leaders, upon the governors in all these places, that your church, we will have favor from you and from them. All our logistic needs, all our documentations, whatever we need, Lord, you will provide. Lord, we pray for them to be saved. We pray for those governors to know you, O God. We pray for their salvation. We commit ourselves, O God, to pray for the prosperity of all these places, so we to your church will prosper. We commit ourselves, O God, to evangelize, O God, to them, that they may know you are the true God, and we are your servant. O Lord, stretch out your hand and do miracle in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. And Lord, we pray for the church to grow. Pray for yourself. Repent of your worldliness, your sin, your lack of commitment, and come to the Lord. Tell him, here am I, Lord. I'm going to serve you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, O God, that each and every one of us will be a disciplined disciple of yours, cultivating the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, and peace, self-control, gentleness, kindness, patience, perseverance, humility, generosity. We pray that we will reflect you in our life, that people will see you through our life and attitude and characters and the style of life that we choose to follow you. O Lord, we pray. I pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit upon all the church members. I pray for those who are not yet baptized with the Holy Ghost. Baptize them, O Lord, with the Holy Spirit. Let be gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Let be message of wisdom, message of knowledge, gift of healing, gift of faith, gift of evangelism, gift of pastoring, teaching, prophesying, whatever your church needs. Lord, you know the needs of God. Touch your church, fill us, provide for us to go on and save you. Even Lord, today, we pray, anoint this worship, anoint the song, anoint my lips, O God, anoint your word to us, anoint our prayer, anoint the giving, anoint this recording, make it reach to the places that you want this word of yours to reach. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Let's all stand and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, this is the house of God. We are the temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. As we allow the Holy Spirit to reside in us, by the blood of Jesus, we are his body. Hallelujah. As we gather in this place today, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Have your way. As we lay aside our own desire, sweep across our hearts with holy fire. Glorified in heaven.
glorified in everything we say. Have your way. This is your house, your home. We welcome you, Lord, we welcome you. This is your house, your home. We welcome you today. As we praise, O Lord, draw near. It's your voice we long to hear.
We long to hear, Lord.
This is your house, your home. We welcome you, Lord, we welcome you. This is your house, your home. We welcome you today. We welcome you.
Our hand to the Lord. Hallelujah.
I was in need and I needed a friend. I was alone and I needed a hand. I was going down with someone rescuing me. My God, there's too much to say. His mercies are new every day. Get up to pray and then help. He's on its way. I walk by faith and not by sight. But things go wrong, it will be alright. There's someone greater is watching over me. My God cares too much to say. His mercies are new every day. I get up to pray and then help. He's on his way.
I was in need
and I needed a friend. I was alone and I needed a hand. I was going down, but someone rescued me.
Jesus.
My God cares too much to say. His mercies are new every day. I get out to pray and then help is on its way. I walk by faith and not by sight. If things go wrong, it will be alright. Someone greater is watching over me. My God cares too much to say. His blessings are new every day. I get up to pray and then help is on its way. Now in faith I believe, I've got everything I need. I walk by faith and not by what I see. I've got friends in high places, I've got someone I can go. Someone greater is watching over me. My God cares too much to say. His mercies are new every day. I get up to pray and then help is on its way.
Our heaven, new
creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grave. grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing, my love just keeps on growing, here in the grace of God I stand.
By your grace, O God, by your love, by accepting us, by forgiving us for our sins, we thank you, Lord. We fall down, O God. We lay our crown at your feet. We give our life to you. We surrender our wills and our plans all unto you. You are the head of the church. Lead us, shepherd. Thank you, Lord.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry,
for our sins,
O Lord.
Speak to your church, correct us, rebuke us, discipline us, teach us to behave in your presence, to live a holy life unto you. We thank you, Lord. We trust you, Lord, that you will complete the work that you start in each and every one of us, the work that you start in the life of your church. In this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us be seated in God's presence. Let's collect our tithes and our first fruit and our offerings unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your help, for your support unto us. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord, for all that you give us, you provide for us. Thank you for our jobs and our income and the salaries. And we pray, Lord, we ask to, as your people had obeyed you, bring you their tithes and offering and festivals and their vows, open the windows of heaven and bless them and rebuke the devourer in their life. That all nations that know that they are blessed by you, Lord, I pray, use this money, multiply it to reach the lost. Oh God, we thank you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's continue our worship, hearing the word of God. Hearing what God wants to say to us. The word of that Jesus sent to his church. If the church will obey, blessing will flow. But when the church disobey, curses will follow. We need to repent of our sins. So the plagues and the troubles and the wrath that's going on will stop. It will not stop unless the church behave and repent. Matthew chapter 5. From the sermon of Jesus on the mountain, listen, church, and repent. Matthew chapter 25. And I will read again from verse 29. To verse 32. Jesus was speaking about don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication. Let us see what he say. He say, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committed adultery. Lord, anoint your word, anoint my lips. Put verses and statement in my mouth to teach your people, to encourage them, to guide them into the whole truth of yours. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. Take the message. Make the fruitful. Let be repentance. Let be people come to you today. Let people renounce their sin. Let them give up their own ways and come to you and surrender their life and will and live by your word, O God. O God, purify your church. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in verse 29, when Jesus say, if your eyes cause you to sin, and we understand and we set up, he said it. In verse, 28, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He said, when you look to the woman, and we spoke about boyfriend, girlfriend, and dating and courting, there's adultery going on. Because this is the word of Jesus. He said, if your eyes look lustfully to a woman, you commit adultery. And we also spoke that the woman who makeup and perfume and dress, they are inviting men to commit adultery with them. That's what the word of Jesus. We had discussed that last Friday. Now we're going to continue. Now, in verse 30, we read, now we understand how the eye commits sin. And he say, you enter the eternal life. Yeah, one eye better than that you're going to heal the whole body. In verse 30, he say, and if thy right hand offended thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy member should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, how the hand would be sinning here in this setup? Now, we understand the eye is sin in the mind, lust. But how about the eye? What is the relation of the hand with the sin of adultery and fornication? Now we understand that. How about the hand? That's also easy. Boy touching the girl, and girl touching boys. Is that going on or no? Going on. Now what does it say here to the boys? Don't touch a woman who is not your wife. Because there's no other explanation here. How the eye, why he say the eye to be cut? Why he did not say feet? The hand to be cut, it means no touch. And woman, the word of God to the word of Jesus to the woman, woman, girl, listen to this. Don't allow any man to touch you who is not your husband. That is the meaning of it. Twice he say in verse 29, twice he say, better one of your member to be perished like eye or hand, better than the whole body end up in hell. Now we understand that. What's going on? Boyfriend and girlfriend, dating and courting. This all adultery in the sight of Jesus. We had sung pure heart. That is what Jesus wants from his church to behave. To repent of all the sins. Why Jesus was so particular in speaking that you let one of your eyes go away, or your hand go away, and not use them for adultery. The hand used for the physical touch, the eyes for the mind. Why Jesus was so particular that this sin, immorality, adultery, fornication, you know, the sin of immorality, listen to this. It could be fornication, that is sex among those who are unmarried. Adultery is sex among those who are married. And also, at the time of Jesus, the community that he ministered, there is no homosexual. If he is here now, Jesus will miss, he say, no girl would touch girl and no boy would touch girl. No boy would touch a boy, because now there is also homosexuality. Now, why Jesus was so particular to discipline his disciple about such sins should not happen? Why? It's very clear here. He was very particular about that sin. If we read the writing of Apostle Paul, we may have a clue and we may understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, are we learning new things today? Are we going to behave? Are we going to implement? First Corinthians chapter 6. I will read from verse 15 to verse 20, and we will explain. Apostle Paul explained to us why Jesus is so particular with that sin. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What know ye not, that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now here Apostle Paul explained to us, and we'll go through it one by one so we can understand. He said that your bodies are the member of Christ. The part of our body are the member of Christ. Part of the body of Christ. He say, how you can take the part of the Christ, the body of Christ, and make them unite with the harlot? Harlot here is a person who is not your husband or wife. Amen? If you unite them with harlot, and God forbid that, you say, God forbid, God does not allow this. And he say that, you are not aware that when somebody unites with the harlot, they'll become one flesh. So when you are doing sin of fornication, adultery, homosexuality, whatever, you are uniting the body of Christ with the temple of devil, Satan. And this is the sin that caused demons to come inside their body. And the demons and Satan will come into the body of Christ, who condone such sin. That's what he say here. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. In verse 16, he say, what know ye not, that he that is joined to the harlot is one body? For two shall be one flesh. In verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. All other sin done outside the body. But fornication, adultery, homosexuality, it is inside the body. That's where the direct access of Satan to the body of Christ, by through that sin. That's why Jesus said, even don't look, don't touch. Don't look, don't touch. Don't allow somebody to look at you, and don't allow somebody to touch you. Very clear instruction. What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Yes, the Holy Ghost living inside us. Somebody touch you, not your husband, who is touching you? God or Satan? Satan is touching you. Demons are touching you. Demons are looking at you. Which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. The body that we have is purchased by Jesus. He paid the price, as he say here, for we are bought with a price. Jesus bought us with a price of his blood on the cross. So we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. How we can take the part of our bodies and unite them with somebody who is not our husband, who is not our wife? We will go back to Matthew 5, and we will discover, now we spoke about how Jesus saw adultery and fornication. Now Jesus moved forward and he described another form of adultery. And that is the form when there is divorce and remarriage. Matthew 5 verse 31 and verse 32, it says, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causing her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committed adultery. Now here, this describes another form of adultery that was going on. Somebody who is married, divorce his wife, he say, you are causing her to commit adultery. And if somebody come and marry the divorced one, he commit adultery. Now, how come Jesus would say this? What is the explanation? You know, according to the word of Jesus, once the divorce had happened, adultery would take place. I will go to verse 31. Jesus said, it had been said. It had been said. And you know, in verse 27, he said, you have heard that it was said by them of all time. But here, he did not say, you have heard that it was said by them of all time. He said it had been said. You know why? Because the Jewish, listen to me, the Jewish at the time of Jesus, they think that divorce and remarriage was the law of God. Jesus, he told them very clearly, that is not the law of God. That's why he did not tell them that it was, you have heard that it was said by them of all time. Of all time, it means Moses. They are thinking that God has allowed divorce, and they are thinking that, now the same the churches now, they think that God allowed divorce, and they think that Christ allowed divorce. He say no. Neither Christ, neither God, neither Moses had allowed divorce. At the time of Jesus, the Pharisees were after Jesus to make him convince and compel him to approve divorce. He was not approving. He was not approving. Divorce and remarriage is adultery. Like you are having a prostitute. Second marriage is a prostitute. That's what Jesus said. Now the question here, when he say in verse 32, he say that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. How when he divorce her, cause her to commit adultery? We need to understand this. I search. We need to know what they were writing in the divorcement paper. Divorcement writing. When they would divorce the wife, the husband would write a paper. Like now there is a court paper, divorce. Even this court paper divorce, in the front of God, it is adultery, second marriage. What they would write in the paper of divorcement? You know what they would write? I'll read to you. I make it in a simple language. What the husband would write to the wife when he would divorce her, so we can understand why he caused her to commit adultery. On such a day of the week, in such a month, of such a year, in such a place, I, such an one, the son of such an one, of such a place, by my own will, without any force, I put away, dismiss, and divorce you. You, I say, who are such an one, the daughter of such an one, of such a place, who was my wife, but now I put you away, dismiss and divorce you, so that you are in your own hand and has power over yourself to go and marry any other man. When he divorced her, he write that you have the right to go and marry other man. And that's why she say that when you divorce her in such a way, you are causing her to commit adultery, because you are giving her permission to go and marry another man. Listen. And have power over yourself to go and marry any other man whom you please with, and let no man hinder you in my name from this day forward and forever. And you are free to marry any man, and let this be unto you from me a bill of divorce, and an instrument of dismission, and a letter of forsaking, according to the law of Moses and Israel. You see, they give her full permission to go and marry another man. And at the end, he say, according to the law of Moses and Israel. No, it's not according to the law of Moses and Israel. This is according to your own law. Jesus mentioned to them, Moses allow you because your heart is calloused. Now we understand why when a man divorced a wife, caused her to commit adultery, because she has a paper approval from the husband to go and marry another man. Because at that time they would say, why you married a divorce? No, she has a paper of divorce from the husband, and it is written that you have the right to marry another man. Jesus say, yes, that's what you write, but in the sight of God, it is adultery. That's why he say in Matthew 5:32, he say, and whoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery. He's saying to the man, even if she has paper from the husband, that's not from God. That's not the law of Moses or Israel. Even if she has paper of divorcement, anyone marry her, he's committing adultery. No, the same law of churches, they say no, that if there's a paper of divorce, legal divorce, court divorce, authenticated paper in the court of God, second marriage is adultery, whether you like it or not. It was a battle at the time of Jesus. It is a battle, I tell you, even till now. Adultery, divorce and remarriage, not approved by the law of God. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 19. Are you learning something? You get the point here? If somebody married, you cannot get him from his wife. You cannot get her from her husband. You can get, but you can end up in hell if you do it. Repent and behave. If the partner is alive, marriage is standing. If the partner alive, marriage is standing. Paper, court, it will not work in the heaven. Rejected. Period. No other opinion. Let us behave. Matthew 19. They came to him, the Pharisee, again. I read from verse 3 to verse 9. The Pharisee also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? They want to put it on Moses. Then why Moses give this instruction? He says unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffer you, give you permission to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. He say, you are allowed because you have hard heart. But at the beginning it was not so. So whose fault, Moses or they? They, their hardness of their heart. Verse 9, and I say unto you, again he repeat, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery, and whoso marries her which is put away doth commit adultery. The same, he repeated. He repeated to them. He says, not read, in the beginning was not like this. A man will leave his father and the mother, will unite with his wife, and the two become one. What God put together, no one can separate. Only one way to be separated, by death. Only death. Now here Jesus say that, he say, if he divorce her, except for fornication. Now according to the law of Jewish, if a wife caught in adultery, you know what they would do to her? They would stone her and she would die. He is free to marry because her partner is already dead. But if the partner alive, the marriage is standing. And Romans chapter 7 and verse 2. Many churches, they approve divorce and marriage. They are approving adultery. These are nightclubs that devil like. They are allowing harlots. They are reproducing harlots. Romans chapter 7 verse 2. He say, for the woman which had an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. If the husband dead, he is loose from the husband. She can marry. The same with the husband. If the wife is alive, he cannot move. Now here what we have read here, when you give her a writing of divorcement, you have in your hand the power to go and to marry any man you like. So what he's telling her, go do adultery. And now there are many women, they say to the husband, you go to other women. You are free. And the man will get love, you go to other man. We are telling them, do adultery in this way. That's what the devil like. We need to repent of this. Church, wake up. God, when He speaks His word, He will send reward to those who obey and curse to those who are disobedient and put His word at their back. Now, when Jesus make it clear that a man cannot put his wife for any reason except for fornication. Also in the same way, that man is not allowed to marry other woman if his wife is alive. Even there is divorce. Even if she's with other man. Now, at the time of Jesus, they have the power to put to death. They will stone. Now how about now? The church cannot stone. We can't stone. Those who do adultery, we can't stone them. Because the church now is under the state. and the state allow it, what the church will do? We cannot stone. Since we can't stone, we cannot also allow divorce and remarriage. What we advise? What we advise is no divorce. If she's with the other man, let her go. But you stay like that. If your husband with the other woman, wait for him to come back. But no divorce and no remarriage. With this we can understand the writing of also Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Apostle Paul, what he writes also. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15. Verse 15. Now we understand clear, right? No divorce. Even there's fornication, no divorce. And the wife is alive, no divorce. The husband is still alive, no divorce. No second marriage. Apostle Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 7:15, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us for peace. Now here, what you see here, if the unbeliever, like somebody who is believer, marry unbeliever, because he believing in Christ, the unbelieving partner leaving him because he does not want him to go for Christ. He say, if that your partner had left you after you have done all your part with him, you have tried everything to keep him. He say, if he depart, let him depart. A believer, a brother or sister is not under bondage. What he mean here, you are not accountable before God for his life, because at the time of Jesus, they will write divorce paper. That you have the right to go and marry another person. Here, he said, it's not your fault. You are not the one who gave permission. You are not the one who tell her go. If you depart, depart. Let him depart. Let him do whatever he wants. You wait until he will repent and come back. Until she repent and come back. There is no for you divorce and second marriage. As long as she is alive or he is alive. The church, we cannot put people to death. And we cannot approve divorce and remarriage. At the time when Jesus, when God created heaven and earth, the book of Genesis, in the vocabulary of God, there is no divorce, there is no second marriage, there is no multiple marriage, like what we can witness today. The sin of adultery, it was a big battle at the time of Jesus. Even John the Baptist, in Matthew chapter 14, John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 14, and verse 1 to verse 10, I'll read. Matthew 14, verse 1 to 10, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in a prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them, and pleased Herod, Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she wanted, she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake. And them which was sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in a prison. Why John was, his head was being cut? Because John said to Herod, "It is unlawful for you to marry Herodias, which is your brother wife." His brother is Philip, he's still alive. That is his wife. John was standing on the word of Jesus. What did Jesus say? In Matthew 5:32, he died for it. John the Baptist died because he stood on the word of Jesus. The last statement, Jesus said, "And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery." Herodias was divorced by Philip. Herod, his brother, marry her. He told him it's adultery. It's unlawful for you to have her. It's a big battle from the time of Jesus till now about the sin of fornication, sin of adultery. And God wants his church to be clean and pure before him. In the book of Leviticus, according to the law of Moses, the instruction of Moses to the priest, Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 7. Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 7, the instruction of God to Moses about the priest, what he will marry. He say, you can read verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priest." So this message for the priest. Leviticus 21 is an instruction for the priest. In verse 7 he say, "They shall not take a wife that is a whore, a prostitute, or a profane, neither shall take a woman put away from her husband." The priest cannot take a woman put away from her husband. He cannot marry a divorced woman. In verse 14, "A widow or divorced woman, or a profane, or an harlot, this shall not he take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife." The priest, he cannot marry a divorce. A wife was put away. In book of Ezekiel chapter 44, you may say, "We are not a priest." No, no, we are a priest. We are a priest. Me are a priest, and you are also a priest. Okay? I'll bring you back. Wait. I'll bring you to the New Testament. It will tell you that you are a priest. Amen? This is for us. We have to behave. Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 22. The instruction of God to Ezekiel about the priest. 44 verse 24, "Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that put away, but they shall take maidens, virgin of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before." A priest cannot marry a divorced woman. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we will close now. We'll continue next Friday this important issue in the life of the people of God, in the life of the church. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Apostle Peter, on him Jesus built up his church. He told him, "You are Peter, I'm on you. I'll build up my church, and the gate of Hades will not overcome it." He wrote to us and he said, But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Amen. We are royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. And holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What He say about us? We are a holy nation, chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Isn't your Bible mentioned that you are royal priesthood or no? So the message is for you. Priests cannot marry a divorced woman. That's all stand. If ever divorce happened, no remarriage. If ever separation happened, no remarriage. That's all stand. Unless the partner is dead and buried. Dead. Once you hear he's dead, you can go ahead. Let's repent. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you. Thank you. Continue to discipline your church. Teach us. Correct us. Rebuke us. Thank you. Just come to God. You are royal priesthood. Give your life free to Him. Thank you, Lord. A heart that hides your word, so that sin shall not come in. A heart that's undivided, but one you rule and reign. A heart that speaks compassion, that pleases you, my Lord. A sweet aroma of worship that rises to your throne. God said to us, a pure heart, that's what I long for. A heart that follows heart after thee. Take your word and spread it. Oh God, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us and free us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us one in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing, my love just keeps on growing. Here in the grace of God I stand. I will praise you, Lord. aliveness in my spirit. Here in the grace of God I stand. A joy that knows no limits. Aliveness in my spirit. Here in the grace of God.